even in spite of the day. I woke up this morning early with so much zeal and zest that I was going to get so much done today. But of course, it's right before the holidays, so it seems like everyone at my day job has lost their freaking minds. I had an effort not only to write the verbiage of what I was actually going to say for a podcast today. My intent was to record for a podcast, but of course that didn't happen because, again, the people I work with are nuts. But anyways, in this episode, I endeavor to discuss and celebrate Christmas around the world. And as I prepared the podcast, I realized that I had very little knowledge of how Christmas is celebrated in exotic locations like Egypt, India, and Greece, even though these have some of the oldest Christian populations on this planet. So I hope you enjoy that piece. I will help celebrate the food and the traditions around Christmas. And also I will end with a reading from Dickens. And then I'll also talk about seasonal affective disorder. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you will enjoy this podcast just as much as I've enjoyed. Christians are a religious minority in Egypt. The celebrations surrounding that version of Christmas in that country has become more commercialized. Even non-practicing Christians actually celebrating, even getting a Christmas tree. There is a celebration for the 43 days up to Christmas, which is actually celebrated in January 7th, and this is what my grandmother used to call Old Christmas, but it's actually called Christmas Day in the Coptic faith. And there is fasting, and you refrain from eating meat, egg, and butter all during that time. The Christmas Eve before January 7th, there's a special service or liturgy. And then there's a bunch of parties and festivities on actual Christmas Day with the sweet biscuit called conch, which is actually given as a gift, and then followed by massive dinners topped off with lamb stew. Yummers! And there's Baba Noel may make an appearance, who is Father Christmas to all of the practicing believers. Giving out presents only to those that are nice. Even in spite of the commercialization of this event, it's still very festive and celebrating the birth of the Christ child. So I've been also talking about seasonal affective disorder, basically with every podcast. And what I am also finding is that it's completely treatable and you don't have to suffer in silence. I would hate for you to be here in the United States, Egypt, or anywhere that celebrates Christmas, especially at this joyful time of year, and you're just so sad. Either you feel you have to drown your sorrows in alcohol or drugs, or suffer in silence. That's not the case. You can actually call for help at 1-800-273-8255 at any time, as well as there's an online chat feature for more anonymity at Suicide Prevention Online on lifeline.org/chat, or you can call 1-800-662-HELP or 1-800-662-4357. And these lines are there 24/7 for your help and to throw you a lifeline for what ails you. You should be happy, or it's happiness, or recovering from depression is a possibility. And I wish you all the best, and take the help because it's there for you. Just so you know, there is actually, I think it's on Hulu, A Christmas Carol is actually available for your viewing pleasure, available on Hulu as well as Hulu Plus. And now for my read of Dickens' A Christmas Carol, Marley's Face. As Scrooge looked fixedly at this phenomenon, it was inaugurated. To say that he was not startled or that his blood was not conscious of a terrible sensation to which it had been a stranger from infancy would be untrue. But he put his hand upon the key he had relinquished, turned it sturdily, walked in, and lighted his candle. He did pause with a moment's irresolution before he shut the door, and he did look cautiously behind it first, as he had half expected to be terrified with the sight of Marley's pigtail sticking out into the hall. But there was nothing on the back of the door except screws and nuts that held the knocker on, so he said poo-poo and closed it with a bang. The sound resounded through the house like thunder. Every room above and every cask in the wine merchant's cellars below appeared to have a separate peal of echoes its own. Scrooge was not a man to be frightened by echoes. He fastened the door and walked across the hall and up the stairs slowly too, trimming his candle as he went. You may talk vaguely about driving a coach at six up a good old flight of stairs or through a bad young act of parliament, but I mean to say you might have got a hearse up that staircase and taking it broadwise with the splinter bar towards the wall and the door towards the balustrades and done it easy. There was plenty of width for that and room to spare, which is perhaps the reason why Scrooge thought he saw a locomotive hearse going on before him in the gloom. Wow. Half a dozen gas lamps out of the street wouldn't have lighted the entry too well, so you may suppose that it was pretty dark with Scrooge's dip. Up Scrooge went, not caring a button for that. Darkness is cheap, and Scrooge liked it. But before he shut his heavy door, he walked through his rooms to see that all was right, and he had just enough recollection of the face to desire to do that. Sitting room, bedroom, lumber room, all as they should be. Nothing under the table, nobody under the sofa, a small fire in the grate, spoon and basin ready, and a little saucepan of gruel. Scrooge had a coal in his head upon the hob. Nobody under the bed, nobody in the closet, nobody in the dressing room. So basically, it's to say that he was looking for ghosts and he didn't find it. He was obliged to brood over things and prophets and all of everything in the Bible. And then finally, he just basically shouted, "Bah, humbug." Yes, I skipped several paragraphs because I didn't feel like reading all of that. After several turns, he sat down again as he threw his head back in the chair. His glance happened to rest upon a bell, a disused bell that hung in the room, and communicated for some purpose now forgotten with a chamber in the highest story of the building. It was this with great astonishment, but strange and inexplicable dread, that as he looked, he saw this bell begin to swing. It swung so softly in the outset that it scarcely made a sound, but soon it rang out loudly. So did every bell in the house. This might have lasted half a minute or a minute, but it seemed an hour. The bells ceased as they had begun together. They were succeeded by a clanking noise deep down below, as if some person were dragging a heavy chain over the cask in the wine merchant's cellar. Scrooge then remembered to have heard the ghosts in haunted houses were described as dragging chains. The cellar door flew open with a booming sound, and then he heard that noise much louder on the floors below, and then coming up the stairs and coming straight towards his door. "It's humbug still," said Scrooge. "I won't believe it." His color changed, though, when without a pause it came on through the heavy door and passed into the room before his eyes. Upon its coming in, the dying flame leaped up as though it cried, "I know him! Marley's ghost!" and fell again. The same face, the very same, Marley in his pigtail, usual waistcoat, tights, and boots, the tassels on the ladder bristling like his pigtail, and his coat skirts, and the hair upon his head. The chain he drew was clasped upon the middle, about his middle. It was long and wound about him like a tail, and it was made, for Scrooge to observe it closely, of cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers, deeds, and heavy purses wrought in steel. His body was transparent so that Scrooge, observing him and looking through his waistcoat, could see the two buttons on his coat behind. Scrooge had often heard it said that Marley had no bowels, but he had never believed it until now. How would you act if somebody, a ghost, rolled up on you? I think he was just too calm. But anyways, no, nor did he believe it even now, though he looked the phantom through and through and saw it standing before him, though he felt the chilling influence of its death cold eyes and marked the very texture of the folded kerchief bound about its head, and which wrapper he had not observed before, he was still incredulous and fought against his senses. "How now," said Scrooge, caustic and as cold as ever. "What do you want with me?" "Much," Marley's voice, no doubt about it. "Who are you?" "Ask me who I was." "Who were you then?" said Scrooge, raising his voice. "You're particular for a shade," he was going to say, "to a shade," but substituted this as more appropriate. "In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley." And that's how I'm going to end this episode of Tennessee Froward's reading. This is getting good. He's actually in his own living nightmare when he sees the ghost of past and things left undone, and of coldness, and how he knew, and I'm suspecting how he knew his very lifetime partner very little. How much he missed, and he will now start going over the regrets of a past life. But obviously, I think the ghost Marley is coming to him to tell him he still has time to make the changes so he will not make mistakes and waste a life worth living and live for the joy that is of life. So, don't forget to navigate to DalesAngelsInc.com for all special offers and updates on nerd news. Drop me a line at TennesseeFro@gmail.com or even leave a 2-minute voicemail at 423-463-0658. If it's not trolley, I may read it on air or play it for the audience. Also, if you like what you hear and you're tired of freeloading, become a patron through Podbean. patreon.podbean.com/thetalkingfro, or leave me a tip at paypal.me/ Felicia DAI. And I hope you enjoyed this episode and have a great day.